Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 11th of March, 2014. I am Steve. I'm not a happy bunny. And we've got Colin, who's also not very happy. How are you doing, Cole?
Not happy.
Not happy.
Well, a wee bit happier. The scum have just went out of the Champions League, so...
Don't call them Arsenal. You can't call them that.
I'm calling them the scum because we're playing them this week.
I'm a teacher, I'm not allowed. Listen, every week we seem to be moaning and complaining, as does every other podcast, but by the end of it, you're sort of, you know, you're chipper and you're thinking, right, well, we've got the next game coming up, and, we'll pre-empty this show just by saying that we are fifth in the league once again. We're above Man United and Everton, who, you know, don't forget, got smashed at the weekend. After playing so well, and we've got Arsenal coming up on Sunday, and we beat them, and it all changes again. But you know, let's not be too happy, I suppose, because we're Spurs fans. Cole, what are your thoughts? Oh, I'm dreading this. What are your thoughts on
Chelsea?
To
be honest with you, it's hard to know where to start, and yeah, I'm going to start off on a slight positive. Hopefully, you know. I sort of felt, you know, for that first 50-odd minutes, we actually weren't doing too bad. Without really looking overly dangerous, you know, except for maybe, you know, that great effort that Sandro had. But I was actually quite pleased with the way we had performed. But I think probably like most of us Spurs fans, at half-time, I sort of went to myself, look, I'm just waiting for something to happen. You know, eventually, Chelsea are going to break us down. They're going to get a goal or a mistake's going to happen. And you know, lo and behold, you know, Jan Vertonghen, we chatted about him in the last show, and, you know, I'd sort of brought up, you know, haven't been overly happy with his attitude, feel as if he doesn't want to be there. But obviously the guy didn't deliberately pass the ball back, but, like, what a schoolboy era. You know, one of the first things, you know, you teach, you know, you're taught as a kid is never hit the ball back into the danger area. And yes, he slipped, but, you know, hit it out or lie on top of the ball or do something, you know, hit it out even for a corner. But as soon as it happened, I just couldn't believe it. And you know, for that guy, Eto to score as well, I'm going to get on to him soon. But, you know, before that, you know, before Eto had dived at least three times, Steve, in that match, even before the penalty. You know, that first incident with Lloris, and nobody has picked up on it on Match of the Day or on Sky. When you actually see the replays when he goes over Lloris, I know that he was given offside, Lloris actually never touched him. And he's lying there rolling about in the penalty area as if something's wrong with him. You know, so that was the start of him. He dived a couple of times over on the wings. And lo and behold, you know, it just came. And many times, Steve, have we seen it, especially against Chelsea. You know, a big decision, referee, not only does he give the penalty, you know, he sends Kabul off and it's game over. It really was. And I was just absolutely devastated by it because I really thought the way we performed, we had a bit of a chance against them, but it was devastating. And then obviously we've got the news today that the red card's been rescinded. You know, but what good's that to us? You know, okay, we're going to maybe have Kabul back for the Arsenal game, but you know, it's no good when you're 1-0 down away to Chelsea, and you lose your main centre back. It was just game over, devastated.
Well, we've done this podcast for 2.5 years or something like that, and you know, there's been a lot of ups, and a lot of times where you repeat yourself, and this is obviously one of those times. It's not just against Chelsea; it's one of the top sides. The luck goes against you again. You know, I will say obviously that we didn't play particularly well. I know the first half we were well in the game. I thought we looked petrified though. You know, halfway through that first half, I thought, yes, we're keeping the ball. And it was funny because Chelsea were giving the ball away, and I thought, you know, the fans aren't happy here. And we're the better side. However, we looked petrified. We didn't look like we were getting involved. We didn't look, you know, into their box and really going for it. I mean, you know, when we play sides at our place, who are you know, slightly lesser than us, and we're not on the ball, they get players forward and they scare you. And you know, you think three or four times, you're going for your half-time hot dog and you think, gosh, they should be two or three up here. Well, we should have been one up with that Bentaleb effort. But apart from that, did we really get forward? Did we really, seize on them and think, they're not playing well. Let's go for it. Not really. I thought we looked scared. So that's disappointing. And then second half, again, Vertonghen, terrible mistake. And then Walker, terrible mistake. Sandro trips over his own shoelaces by the looks of it. And a penalty which you've seen given a million times. So I don't blame the referee necessarily. And Cabal gets sent off. Again, that's the rules. These rules, need changing. They need, common sense, blah, 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 like everybody says. And the fact is that, they are the rules. And so you have to accept them. But I fail to remember a team that has so many times this happened. Please, I would be more than happy if an Arsenal fan or a Man United fan or Man City, Liverpool, whoever you are, West Ham, Charlton, whoever you are, if you can tell me 10 games where your player has been sent off within the first 20 minutes or where you've had an absolutely awful decision, like the ball would not cross the line in a semi-final, or where you've lost your best player because his wife or girlfriend's just had a baby half an hour before kickoff, or where you've been in a competition to qualify for something, and the other some other team has won it, so you don't qualify for it. Just tell me the list, or whichever team you support, and I appreciate no other fan will listen to this, but ask your mates, have you got a list as long as your arm, like Spurs fans have, which high profile, big, massive games, these things happen? Peter Crouch, a guy that has never tackled anybody in his life, makes two tackles within the first 10 minutes, which I've never even seen him do, to get himself sent off at the Bernabeu. Gomez gets himself sent off after 7 minutes against Inter Milan. Yeah. The list goes on and on and on. And it's like, when is their luck going to change? I said at the Man U game away where Ashley Young went through and he went tumbling in the box and it should have been a penalty. But that was on an occasion where the referee looked at it and went, well, it's Ashley Young. He deserves not to get a penalty. So that was like a combination of Spurs deserve something, but then again, Man United don't deserve anything. I've said it many times, I would absolutely love to play Arsenal this weekend and, 0-0 all the way, final 10 minutes. Adebayor takes a massive tumble, similar to what happened there. No, not in the last 10 minutes, in the first 10 minutes. Let me say in the first 10 minutes. Massive tumble in the box. Koscielny gets sent off undeservedly. And it's their manager and their fans at the end of it going, oh my goodness, what's going on? And by the way, when we were in the pub before, I'd like a little text to go around. Cazorla's out today because his wife's just given birth. Oh, and Mertesacker's out because he had a back strain in training yesterday, which no one knew about. Because all these things are still happening as well. You turn up at the pub and Ericsson's out, and then Dembele's out, and then this guy's out, and that guy's out. And you're like, what's going on with Lamella? I mean, a million things there, Cole, but got them all off my chest straight away. It just goes on and on and on, doesn't it?
It does, and I think that's why we all probably sort of, lost the will to live on Saturday after it happened. And the rub salt into the wounds, a couple of soft goals right at the very end, which made the scoreline look even worse for us. But, you're right, it happens all the time, and I don't know whether, it can't always just be down to luck. Obviously, a lot of this is to do with the players and they make silly mistakes and things, but you're right, we just never seem to get it. And, as soon as it happened, I just want to talk about that guy, Eto. I sent a few tweets off the match of the day because they didn't highlight anything about him. But you know, when you watch that there in slow motion, he was already going down before the ball even came into the box, and then he was able to throw himself. Very clever, a bit like Robin tonight. Robin done it a couple of times against Arsenal in the Champions League game. But you know, this card has been rescinded today. Surely they have to bring in a law now where the likes of Samuel Eto'o gets a 3-game ban.
Yeah.
That's what I think has to happen to these guys that cheat and dive.
But then you wouldn't give it to Dzeko, would you? So for the Danny Rose rescinded one, you wouldn't say, oh, Dzeko deserves. So, it's difficult, but I know what you're saying.
In these high profile decisions, which change a game, so much like that there, with your main centre-half being sent off. And if it's found out, look, when they look back and the referee sees it, this guy's dived, he's cheated us, he get even a 1-game ban, something just to say. And then hopefully then the likes of Mourinho and these kind of managers might turn around to these guys and say, look, we can't afford you to be doing this anymore. They've got to do something. But at the end of the day, we're all happy because with Arsenal coming up and Kabul's going to be there. But it doesn't take us back to the 59th minute or whatever it happened and give us a chance of getting back into that game, because the game was over.
Yeah.
It really was. But I think as well, to rub salt in their wounds, it was because it was Chelsea.
Yeah.
The last three or four games against Chelsea, especially at Stamford Bridge, you had the one with Gomez where it went under his body and he stopped the ball on the line with his hand.
Right. So
goal was given.
Like I say, I've said there's 10 instances.
Yeah, there's another one.
More than that, there's another one. But how about this one? I was listening to Rule the Roost podcast, and they had a Chelsea fan on it who said, apart from Van something or other, some guy, they bought over the summer, we'll be at full strength. And I was thinking, right, when was the... What do you mean we'll be at full strength? Chelsea, I've never ever known us to play Chelsea and then not be at full strength. When have you ever known playing Chelsea and they've got four or five players out, or any team for that matter? It is quite unbelievable how we play these sides, and they constantly have a full strength side and we just never do. You're absolutely right. It has to be something to do with Tottenham as well. We have to, perhaps in the summer, we should have looked at players like Kabul and said, you know what, this guy is not fit. Brilliant as he is, he's not fit, so we're going to have to get someone in. Maybe that's why they looked at Sandro and saw that he's going to be in and out the side this year. That's why they went out and bought Kapu. But then he got injured as well. So, I know that Arsenal fan who listens to the show, he always winds me up about it, and going on about injuries and moaning and stuff like that. That's unfortunately, my friend, this is what happens. We can't talk about anything else because this is what is happening at Tottenham. We're losing games, or we're playing well. We're winning but not playing well. And the fact that we've got five or six players that are constantly injured, it is just absolutely unprecedented. But Cole, let's be fair. Even if we get everybody fit, would we win games? I mean, I sat you in Northern Ireland watching that Man City game, and we had just about everybody fit. And we were terrible. So, it's mad, isn't it? But, just very quickly, look at that Chelsea game. Apart from Norris in goal, the back four, none of them would be in our top, our back four, would they? If you think about positionally, Vertonghen left back, he wouldn't be our left back, he'd be in the centre. Yes, all right, Kabul, he'd be in there. Dawson wouldn't be in our starting team. And Norton certainly not. He's a backup right back. He played Walker on the right mid, and you look at it and go, right, okay, this could be interesting. But it wasn't interesting at all because he didn't go forward, he didn't try anything. And how many times did they zoom in on Walker's face after he made a mistake? Now, I like the fact that somebody doesn't look gormless, because they just hit a ball miles over or misplaced a pass. And I like the fact that he looks frustrated. But how many times do you have to see him looking frustrated for him to finally go, right, stop, passing it out of play or hitting it too far. You know, Walker's got to stop doing that. You know, I love his passion, but my goodness, you know, improve your football skills, mate. That'd be an idea. You know, Sandro's constantly coming back. Give him a run of 10, 15 games and I'm sure it'll be fantastic. Bentaleb is you know, average at best, and I'm not being cruel. You know, that's where he is. You know, he's a decent player, but he doesn't do anything really. What does he do? You know, he gets the ball, he passes it on. That's about it. And occasionally gives it away. You know, and I don't blame him. He's 19. You know, he might come good, he might not. You never know. You know, might as well have Livermore in there or Huddleston if you're gonna have him. And then you've got, you know, Lennon. You know, he's lost a bit of weight, which is okay. But, you know, I've seen enough of him now. You know, that's enough of him. Adebayor, yeah, he looks as if he's played some great games. Looks as if he's now tailing off, you know, maybe not as interested.
I just don't think he got much support on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, him and Soldado. That, you know, that's what we were crying out when Soldado was up front. We said we need somebody next to him, like Adebayor.
Yeah.
Get the two of them playing with each other. Yeah. You know, and loads of people listening to this will go, "Yeah, you can't play 4-4-2. Well, I know, in hindsight's a beautiful thing, but I tell you what, if you can get Soldado and Adebayor up front and playing game in, game out, you've got two international, potentially world-class players there. And players that, if they can get a real understanding with each other, then, you know, you build the team around them, in my opinion. You know, we're Tottenham Hotspur, we play attacking football, two up front, or not even two up front, is it? It's Soldado or Adebayor, one up front, one just behind, switch them over, whoever decides.
I think you we'll probably see that happen, you know, over the next few games. I think Sherwood will go on. But look, I think, you know, obviously we need to get into Tim Sherwood's comments after the game, just to see, you know, how we felt on it. You know, I for one was actually quite pleased that he came out and done it. I know a lot of people sort of frown and go, "Oh, you know, this should be kept indoors and a manager shouldn't come out and slate." But, you know, it was nice to see, you know, he was hurt by the performance, by what had happened. But obviously the big thing I took out of it, Steve, was there's stuff going on in the background. And I think we've been worried about that all season, and there's obviously something wrong indoors. You know, there's those pictures of Sherwood pointing to the supporters to tell these guys to go and see the support. You know, I think there was another one where, I think there's maybe footage of it, where Lennon's walking off and Stefan Freund stops Lennon to tell him to go to the supporters, and he pushes Freund to the side and just walks straight down the tunnel. You know, no interest, you know. And as Sherwood said, you know, every Spurs fan was devastated the whole evening, ruined our weekends. Maybe half of that squad had ruined their nights as well. But as Sherwood said, the other half, by the time they get to the motorway, don't care. They're just interested. Yep, there's another pay packet. You know, out in a big fancy car tonight, big limousine, drive us somewhere lovely in London, have a nice meal and have a few drinks. You know, sure, it's only a game of football. You know, that's what's going on. And, you know, I want us to go in to see who we think he was talking about. You know, who was he talking about that obviously don't care, Steve? What was your initial thoughts?
Well, who do you think he's talking about?
Well, obviously, I think he's talking about, if we go through the team, I think he's not talking about Lloris, because you could see Lloris' reaction to the fourth goal. I think he's definitely talking about Vertonghen.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's been spouting off for a few weeks now, but we've chatted about his face and his attitude. You know, I just don't think the guy wants to be there. And I heard another podcast, and the guy actually made a great point. Would he be such a loss? Really? You know, he called him an 8 out of 10 defender. And you know what? When I thought about it, he's probably right, especially when he's in that mind and that attitude. So he's definitely for one.
Was that the Spurs one?
It was the Spurs one.
Is it Greg Stobart or something?
Yeah, I thought it was a good point that he made.
I liked that interview. The only thing I would ask, and I don't mean this, you know, I promise you not, but when I was listening, I thought, blimey, he knows a lot of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, how does he know that Levy met up with Van Gaal.
I don't know who the guy is.
Yeah, but you know, he's a journalist or something, and he's very good. I mean, I thought he was fantastic the way it came across. But you know, I just was listening to it and going, "Oh, that's it. You know, that's fantastic. That's interesting." But hey, how does he know that? Because I thought a lot of it was very sort of, you know, how would he know that someone, you know, they met up in hotels or, you know, they met here and they met there. You know, is a mate of a mate told him, or is he, you know, is that for sure? Or, you know, but, you know, I promise you I'm not being controversial here and I'm not doubting that he does know. I just thought he might have sort of said, oh, I know this because, you know, I was there, or, you know, a friend of mine from this told me, or he just sort of said, oh, yeah, yeah, they met up two or three times and they've chatted and, you know, things are looking good. We're going to get Van Gaal. And I was like, okay, well, you know, is that definite? Because if it is, then great. But, you know, like I said on last week's show, I don't want to be in the summer and some, you know, Arsenal fan or whatever comes and says, oh, you know, your man's just gone to Monaco this morning. And I'll be like, oh, cheers, great. Yeah, go on, mate.
But, you know, I don't think he was talking about Kabul or Dawson. Definitely not Dawson. You know, Dawson's 100%. Kyle Naughton, can you really blame the guy? He's never really had a chance, so I don't think he's that worried about it. Yeah. Lennon, I think he was talking about, definitely not interested. I don't think he's talking about Sandro or Bentaleb. I think he could possibly be talking about the likes of Dembele. I know he didn't play.
Yeah, apparently he was all right, just had a little knock.
You know, I think it's that. It's just, you know, the Lennons, the Vertonghens, you know, the Naughtons. You know, those guys, I think, is what he's talking about. And, you know, the other point he made, which I thought was very, very good, and obviously he's come back to his day when he was playing, he said they're too nice to each other. You know, they're all pally-pally. You know, I watched, there was something at the end of the Bayern Munich game tonight. Schweinsteiger was giving Mandzukic an absolute rollicking about something. You know, and they'd just won a Champions League tie to get through to the quarter-final. And you could see him telling them off. He was shouting at them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Sherwood's right. They're too nice. You know, they're coming out. Like, they'll come out the tunnel at White Hart Lane on Sunday against Arsenal, and half of them will probably hug each other.
Yeah.
You know, Adebayor will be giving everybody a wee hug and a wee pat on the back and, you know, a high five here and a high five there.
Is he,
you know,
yeah, but is he talking about being pals with the opposition or being pals with themselves?
With themselves. I think so what he meant was they're too nice to each other. They're, you know, they're afraid, you know, if someone makes a mistake, you know, the likes of Walker, you know, doing that back pass, say it had been 1-8 and he'd done that. Is there anybody in that team that's going to go and give him a bollocking? Do you know what I mean?
What's a bollocking?
You know what a bollocking is? Maybe that's a Northern Irish way of saying a bollocking.
Stick with bollocking.
Yes, that's the way
family,
we say it.
It's the family show. Listen, but, mate, you know...
Do you know what I mean? But they're too nice. They're too nice, and there's people there that don't care. And
so,
it's obvious, huh?
I mean, so you're agreeing with Sherwood, and you know, when you listen to him talking there, you know, you agree with most of what he's saying. But similarly to AVB having a go at the fans, you're just setting yourself up, aren't you, if you say this sort of stuff?
You
agree with it, you think, yes, you know, when ABB said about the fans, he was right, the atmosphere was terrible, it's got slightly better. And you talk about, you know, Sherwood there, he's hurting, he wants to tell the world, you know, how he gives all these instructions before the game and we go out and get that sort of performance. You know, if that was Wenger, he would have laid the blame squarely and with the referee 100%. And, you know, he'd have got the wrath from the media for blaming the referee, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, his players would have looked at it and gone, you know, thanks, Arsene. You know, and whatever he said to them in the dressing room would have been, you know, saved face. But he's not. He said that to them. Will they care? Well, you know, these guys' careers, you know, they are at Tottenham. They're at Tottenham and this is their careers, and what are they expecting? What do they think, that they're all going to go to Real Madrid in the summer? Do they think that they're going to go to Bayern Munich and things? Yeah, I'm sure they do. You know, and you know, well, see you later then. That's, I've always said that.
Yeah,
about anyone that wants to go, and I'll argue with the people turn blue in the face about them saying, you know, we shouldn't let our best players go. If they want to go, I want them to go. Not because oh, we're Tottenham and I'm so Tottenham and you should want to play for Tottenham. It's just the fact that if you want to go, listen, you know, when anybody in any walk of life, in any job you're in, if you're a boss and someone says, listen, I fancy going, I want to go and work somewhere else, you know, even if they're your best employee, you know, you say, you find out why and the wherefores, and then if they've got a better opportunity, you know, they're not going to work well for you in any walk of life. You know, unless you can offer loads more money, and you can't. You know, unless you can say, right, well, you know, stay at Tottenham, we'll offer you this much money. They'll go, thanks very much, but you do realise that club in Spain is offering me 3 times as much and Champions League football, and I'll get this much in sponsorship. You do realise that, don't you? And you're like, well, you know, we've got this 36,000 stadium and a great training facility. Yes, but I could go and play in the Bernabeu. You know what I mean?
Another thing that, you know, just to jump back there on what we were saying about Sherwood, you know, Wenger would have come out and done it that way, and you're right. I think what Sherwood come out and done was another sign that he knows that he's not going to be there, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have risked doing that if he had known that he was safe. Or, you know, or if he sort of knew, right, I've got to stay, got to keep it right here.
Has he said something about silence being golden or something? People aren't speaking to him. Is that something?
I haven't heard that. It's definitely a sign, Steve, you know, that something's gone on, something in the background. He's had enough. He probably knows, like, you know, something's going to happen at the end of the season. Yeah. Half the dressing room are with me. So, you know, if I was him now, what I would do is make the statement this Thursday night and next and on Sunday against Arsenal. Yeah. If he believes Jan Vertonghen and Lennon, and I know I'm picking these names out and he hasn't said names, but if he believes these guys aren't up for the fight, drop them.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Don't play them.
To me,
bring in the guys, bring in a couple of youngsters, get Andros Townsend on the pitch,
yeah.
Drop Lennon. You know, play whoever he's got to play. And here, when they run out on Thursday night or on Sunday at White Hart Lane, the crowd will know who it is.
Yeah.
And I think he would get a lot of respect for that, win, lose, or draw.
In my anger at the whole the performance on Saturday, I did send out a tweet that was, all the Sherwood haters will be loving this result. You know, partly out of anger. You know, obviously a silly thing to say, you know, for certain Spurs fans. But there was a good little bit back and forth with a few fans. You know, there was interest in, someone said that, you know, you're stupid. It was a silly thing to say. But some of these comments are just, I don't understand. Things like, I don't like Sherwood. I love Spurs, that's good. You know, but I just can't get my head around this whole I don't like Sherwood or I hate Sherwood. Now I understand when they say because he's got no experience, but you know he has got experience because he's won the Premier League, and he has been a coach for the last few years. You know what do you actually want? You know, thing is, I always say to you, Cole, isn't it? You know. Okay, you want to bring Lamella in the side. What, are you going to drop this player or that player? And it's tricky, isn't it? Because you have to think, well, yeah, I've got to drop that player or got to drop Eriksen, but then I want Eriksen in. Blah. So I'm fine with people saying, you know, get Sherwood out, you know, but who are we having in? Get Enoch out, fine. Who's coming in? You know, get Levy out, fine, but who's coming in? I'm not content with just saying all these people out. I need to know who you want in, and then we can have a conversation about it. You know, but this one guy, we went back and forth, and he was saying about, you know, being a Spurs fan, which is great. You know, but the overriding thing is this hatred for, you know, Tim Sherwood, and he wanted him to prove him wrong. He was saying, yeah, I'd love Tim Sherwood to prove me wrong, and you know, and I think a lot of Spurs fans are feeling that, and I think Jace McGovern is feeling that way. Sorry if I'm speaking on his behalf and he doesn't agree with this. And yourself, right? You know, you're not a fan of Tim Sherwood. But you want him to prove you wrong. You know, you want Spurs to win. Is that what I'll be right in that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just want Spurs to do so well. And if that means sure we're doing well, brilliant. But as you know, and I've said it before, you know, there's just something about him. I just don't think he's the right man. I don't think he was the right man to bring in. At this time, I think there was possibly better options that could have been out there. But I think what has happened and what we're hearing is, you know, that these managers that they wanted just wasn't available. And, you know, it's such a tough one. But, like, we were at the Legends Night, and I'll talk about it later, the Northern Ireland Legends Night last Friday night. And I would say 85% of the people, when the question was asked in that room, didn't want Tim Sherwood to be Spurs manager.
Let me just read you this. I haven't seen anything to suggest he would have the skills to get us in the top four next year. Now, I don't understand that. How does this guy know? And this is by the way, a lot of fans' views, and it might even be your view. You know, he can't organise, he can't train, he hasn't got this, he hasn't got that. I mean, how do you lot know all this? I don't know. I don't go down the training ground every day. You know, I can't judge. I can't watch his training methods and Sam Allardyce's and Steve Bruce's and Arsene Wenger's and Mourinho's. I don't watch all these training guys and go, oh, I've watched everybody and I've decided that Tim Sherwood is a rubbish trainer and he can't organise anything. I haven't got a clue. So how can you make these decisions about whether or not he will be a good manager or he is a good manager? Carl?
Yeah, no, you're right in what you're saying. You know, none of us do know, but it's, you know, it's typical, it's football. We've all got our opinions, we've all got our say on people.
Yeah, I know, but what...
People had hated AVB from day one. And never give the guy
I know, but we do, right? Because we were up for Harry, we were up for AVB, and only on this one, Cole, have me and you sort of gone, well, wait there. You know, I'm behind. I don't know what he's like as a manager. Let's give him a few, you know, let's give him the 18 months and see how we get on. But you're like, no, I'm not having it.
Yeah, no, and it's just the way I just feel. You know, yes, you could say the guy does have experience of winning the Premier League. Yeah, he won the Premier League as a player. You know, does that mean that we want to go and get Jason Wilcox from who played for Blackburn and won the Premier League? And here, let's get Jason Wilcox in there.
Well, he wasn't.
Do you know what I mean?
He wasn't the captain.
It doesn't matter.
It does.
He won the Premier League.
If you're the captain, it means that you're a leader.
Right. Well, Alan Shearer was, well, I know he was captain of Newcastle, captain, you know, of Blackburn as well. You know, Alan Shearer didn't cut the mustard. You know, that doesn't, to me, the player thing doesn't come into it. And to be at a top team, if we want to have ambitions of being a Champions League side and eventually within the next 3 or 4 years challenging for the league title, you need a manager with some kind of experience who's been there and done it. You know, the proof's there, you know, with Mourinho, you know, with these top guys. You know, it's with Bayern Munich, when Guardiola goes, give it to, say, Philipp Lahm. Are they going to give it to Philipp Lahm just because he's been captain of Bayern Munich? They're not going to do it. They're going to go out and get the next best man. But I think as well, a lot of it comes down to our playing staff. You know, we've had a lot of injuries. We've a lot of players haven't settled for us. And I just think the squad's all over the place at the minute, Stephen. No matter who went in there and became manager, I don't think anything would have happened this season. And unfortunately, I think it's just a season that we'll have to write off. I'm sort of hoping. I'm actually more interested now in the Europa League. That's my I want us to go for.
We're still fifth, okay?
Yeah, but we're well out of top four.
This time last year, Arsenal were in the same position as us. I think we'd just beaten them, in fact. And it was like, it was, you know, remember AVV's famous Arsenal and a downward spiral of results. You know, and they went and they come back and they won the last, you know, 10 games after an atrocious season, losing to Blackburn, losing to Bradford, you know, getting kicked out of all these cups and being dreadful. And they came back and they did it. Now, I'm not saying that is going to happen to us, and I think it's very, very unlikely. But we're not mid-table, and we are in the Europa Cup, as you say. And you know, we're not out of it. We're not out of it yet. Just going back to Sherwood, look, I'm going to hold my hands up and say that, you know, it's not working out. I have nothing against him, but I think the majority of Spurs fans don't like him, and I think you know, it might be best just to say, all right, you know, and I can't tell you a name who to get in unless you have Stefan Freund step up. You say, see if he can motivate him, you know, or if you want something from left wing, go and get Gus Poyet. You know, yeah, who would come.
I honestly can't see them changing again.
Yeah,
on
but you know, if we lose to Benfica and we lose to Arsenal, Levy will get rid of him.
Yeah,
because or he'll walk, because the pressure will just be too much.
Yeah,
you know, and can you imagine the hatred towards Tim Sherwood if we lose these next two games?
Yeah.
Or even if we lose against Arsenal, I mean, it'll be just unbearable for him.
I think the only good
he's thing trying his best.
Of, yeah, the only good things come out of it for him. I think a lot of people actually got well behind him after what he said, because it's what a lot of us have been feeling. And I think that there might give him a bit of saving grace with the fans. I for one, you know, I've got nothing against the guy. I sort of quite like some things that he says. I just don't think he's the right man for Spurs. I really don't. But I've got nothing against the guy. You know, if he goes, he goes. But I don't want the guy being in charge next season. But I think you're right. I think if we lose, you know, two or three games here, I think the pressure will be massive for him. And I actually could see him just going himself and saying, you know what, I don't need this. I really don't need this. But,
yeah, but
I think if that happens, it will be someone, it will be like a Stefan Freund or someone will step in just at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Just to get us there, you know.
I mean, you're just one final one then on that. You know, you say you don't think he's the right man for Spurs. Just in a nutshell then, why don't you think he's the right man for Spurs?
Again, what I said earlier, just lack of experience, Steve. For a top team...
Okay, that's fine. No, I understand that.
...has been running the reserves for 6 years.
That's all right. All right, so he's not the right man for Spurs because of lack of experience, right, in a nutshell. Who would you bring in?
Well, you know, everybody's going on about Van Gaal. Again, he's a name that I wouldn't have thought of when
Van Gaal is a given. He's who we would have.
Yeah, right? The more I've looked into him, I think he could be brilliant for us.
But he won't come next Tuesday. So when we, you know, when we, if we lose to Arsenal, he's gone. Who are we phoning on Tuesday? Levy gets in touch with me through Twitter and says, "Listen, you and Cole, you've got 24 hours. I want three names. Who shall I go and get?"
Well, first of all, I'd be saying we'll get you somebody in just to get us through the end of the season, because
Martin Heiser.
We need Martin Heiser.
Dan McGovern, Dan Jones, Jason McGovern, and the poet.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I think, you know, what I would be saying is, look, you know, we'll just get someone in to get us through the end of the season. You know, we'll get a new manager for the summer. But, you know, I personally think it'll be someone from, like, as you say, maybe a Stefan Freund or somebody. But, look, fingers crossed, you know, I would like Sherwood to see out to the end of the summer and just see where we end up. But, look, I think, as he said, you know, people upstairs are talking about top four. They need to wake up. I think we all need to wake up as well. I think we, deep down, we've all known it, that we're, you know, we probably are the fifth, sixth best team in the league this year. And, you know, the league doesn't lie where we are. We're not going to catch Arsenal. We're not going to catch Liverpool. We're certainly not going to catch Chelsea or City. You know, the only way it's going to happen is we need to go and beat Arsenal. We need to beat Southampton. We need to beat Liverpool. And that is the only chance. Like, if we beat Arsenal Sunday, we're three behind them.
Yeah.
But they have two games in hand. Yes, they have to go to Chelsea, I think, in their next game as well.
And what do you think is going to happen in these next three games?
I personally and honestly can't see us winning a game.
No, me neither. I think, you know, and this is Spurs fans, you know, this is what we do. We've got to be honest. And, you know, when you talk to Arsenal fans or Chelsea fans, you say, nah, we're still here, we're going to be all right. But, you know, in all honesty, I can see blob in these next three, to use a golfing expression. And, you know, we'll finish up seventh or maybe eighth. But we won't have you.
I want to finish seventh or eighth. I don't want to be in the. I don't want to go through all that Europa League next
but,
year.
But you know, seventh or eighth. If you span back over the last 20 years, that's all right. seventh or eighth. We used to dream of seventh or eighth 15 years ago.
I know.
Oh,
it's crazy.
So you know, but all right. So what about? So you think Benfica at home? I can see that being a real damp squid, and you know them, you know, scampering up the field with 20 minutes to go and nicking a goal that silences everybody, and you know, 1-0, and then Arsenal. Well, I can just see them passing them off the pitch. I think he'll pick Bentaleb again, and he'll, you know, there'll be a few funny old choices that Sherwood picks. And you'll look at it and go, right, okay. And, you know, we'll get someone sent off after 25 minutes and then we'll get the red card rescinded again.
Yeah, probably. I just sort of hope, and I've never been like this about an Arsenal game, but I just hope that we don't get embarrassed again, Steve. That, you know, I watched Arsenal tonight there and you're up against a fantastic team in Bayern Munich, but you know, you look at some of the quality Arsenal have, their passing, and just the way we're playing, and especially the way we're playing at White Hart Lane, it really worries me. And if they get a goal up on us, the crowd will be so hostile. The crowd will turn, and if Sherwood's saying half of this team aren't up for the fight, are they really going to bother?
Yeah.
You know, are they really going to bother? So it is a worry. But here, this is Spurs we're talking about as well. We actually might even win it 2-0.
Right.
Which wouldn't surprise you.
One final positive thing, right? So last week, all the Arsenal podcasts were absolutely doom and gloom. Why are we relying on Giroud? Oh, this new guy up front, you know, the French guy, why, he's a load of rubbish. What are we going to do? It's all, you know, what a waste of a season. We're going to go out of this cup. We're going to go out of that cup. It's all rubbish. And this week... completely changed. It's like, you know, typical Arsenal, you know, 1 week similar to Spurs, I suppose. You know, with any luck, and I don't even mean that, you know, as a saying, actual luck, please, that we get a couple of results, or, you know, the most important one for me, obviously, is Arsenal. And we're sitting there next week and we're saying, you know, that's a proper football match. That's how you properly play. You know, a couple of great tackles, a couple of great things. And, of course, that terribly dodgy decision which made Arsene Wenger throw the old water bottle. Will we be saying that? I doubt it very much. What I do think will happen is we'll be sitting here saying, Cole, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Bring back AVB. That's what we might say.
Yeah.
But look, Steve, before we round off, obviously I didn't get fantasy football out there the last time.
Yeah.
So I just want to quickly fire it out there, because I'm sure there's been a few guys that have been disappointed that have maybe had top points and things. So
yeah, we got 1 minute, so real quick.
Yeah, at the top it's still Dan Jones, John Perez, Patrick Morris, Chrissy Rich, Adam Barrett, Sharni Mann, Kurt Fotek, ASD, Lee Wilson and Toby Wilson. I'm sitting, Steve, in 11th place. One of the weeks I didn't get on the show, I was actually 10th. So I'm 11th. You're in 89th. And the most points this week was a guy called Andrew Jacko, and he had 65 points. At the bottom there is Angus Doodall, Kate Coggins, Charlie Warren, Graham Lambert, and Daniel Locke. So keep up the fantasy football, guys. It's all good fun, and it is quite tight at the top there. One other quick thing, Steve. I have to do a massive shout out to the Spurs poet, Davy Elder, and the Lisburn Spurs Supporters Club. We had the Legends Night last Friday in Northern Ireland. Crackers was over, and yes, Crackers is coming on the show. I'll speak to you about that as well.
Yeah, let's talk, because we didn't get to talk about that. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
Because we have run out of time.
Okay.
And the other thing, of course, sorry, I had to mention is that this... this North London Derby charity match.
Yes, for Stacey.
Which I'm just getting to, yeah, I'm just getting some details now. Oh, here we go, right. This is from Dan Jones. Hi, mate. On this week's show, can you talk about the North London Derby for Stacey, please? I'm pushing it on my page, but for listeners to hear about it would be great. I've got loads of sticker, everyone at work, and then he goes on about Gregor Raziak. He should be our new manager. So go on our Twitter page, have a look at this charity football match that's coming up, and please, please, please donate to the Saving Stacey appeal. It's so, so important. You know, you look at those pictures and, you know, you'll see what I mean. I've managed to reach my goal for my marathon, which is why I don't need any more donations for myself. So thanks for that. And you know, let's see what happens with our beloved Tottenham, who you know, we keep going, don't we? We hope for the best. You know, maybe we'll get to the promised land one day, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, here, I'll just put it out, and I know we'll talk about the legends later on the next show. What we need is the two men that were high was sitting watching us, was Martin Chivers and Cliff Jones. And see Cliff Jones, Steve, I'll tell you the stories next week. Unbelievable. Started a sing-song at the end of the night. At the end of the night, he had 200 Northern Ireland Spurs fans up singing. It was unbelievable. So it's actually, there's clips of it on YouTube, so check it out there.
All right, mate. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on. Cheer us up. Come on.